This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
I saw it more as like Mr. Wolf from Pulp Fiction. You know, I really did get it directed from the president. I had a mutual understanding with him, and I was probably running too hard and acting more like a corporate CEO than I was, say, a political operative. And that's my mistake, and I have to own that.
Scaramucci appears on the Sunday Swirl. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So much terror in Charlottesville, and most of the focus, of course, is going to go there. But before we do, again, the fact that before that happened, the fact that Anthony Scaramucci was going to be on a couple of different shows had people buzzing to hear what he was going to say, because he was dumped so quickly, basically, after 10 days, in being in the White House. He admits, and you heard it there, that he was not cut out for the White House. And, of course, he wasn't cut out for the White House because of the reasons he said. He was used to doing whatever he wanted to do as a business person. And, let's face it, he's a little bit of a hothead, it sounded like. So just 2 weeks after being fired, he returned on a couple of appearances. One of them was on ABC's This Week. And he talked about also reacting to what had happened in Charlottesville. And he was asked about Steve Bannon and why they didn't decisively go after the KKK and white supremacists. So in an ABC Facebook Live interview, Scaramucci called Bannon's tolerance of white nationals inexcusable, and Mooch said he was thinking of writing a book. So he went deeper on a couple of different things, but he said he's focusing on being a voice for Americans who are socially inclusive and fiscally responsible, and he's going to continue to do what he thinks he should be doing, which is not being in the White House, right? So we go from the Mooch and what he had to say to the seriousness of the catastrophe that happened in Charlottesville. And there are no words. I mean, really, there are no great words. Despicable, disgusting. I can just list a bunch of adjectives that describe the way I feel in looking at this scumbag, frankly, who killed one woman, injured 19. James Fields, at 20 years old, is accused of running his Dodge Challenger into the crowd of people. So he will be in court on Monday through a TV feed, as to whether or not he gets bail. Whenever this kind of thing happens, of course, there is the scramble to try to make sense of it. There is no way to make sense of it. There is the scramble to peel back the layers of the guy who did it. And in interviews with people, some said he clearly was disturbed. He had a fondness for Adolf Hitler. He was an angry kid. He was an angry student. All that kind of detail is emerging. And the Virginia governor said on white nationals, about white nationals, they should leave America. Donald Trump is being criticized for not coming down hard on specifically on white supremacists. And to give this story some context, in case you haven't heard of it, in Charlottesville, there were protests. There was a KKK group. There were all sides to what was taking place there. And what was taking place is what started partially this place being the area to gather is the fact that they were going to remove from a park there a Confederate statue of General Robert E. Lee. And then that kind of was the igniter, in a sense, anyway, of the groups of Unite the Right rally of the white nationalists and other right-wing groups, apparently, according to Charlottesville Police Chief Al Thomas, and then a group of others who were talking about the opposite, who were counter to that. And it was, I mean, it was just a massive clash. A lot of fights, a lot of things being thrown. Awful. Extreme nastiness, violence, and everything else that was starting to unfold. But then the thing with the car happened, and even just, gosh, looking at the car just running, plowing through people is just shocking. So, of course, what are the cops going to say about it? They say that the crash is under investigation. They're not giving a lot of context or specifics on the aspects of the crash. This Fields lived with his mother, and his car was parked in the driveway. He didn't work, and the neighbors say pretty much he and his mother kept to themselves. Well, not any longer, because now people are going to know who this guy is. This mugshot is all over the place. And it's sad. I mean, one of the quotes said that his mother didn't know that he was going to Virginia because they were in Ohio, didn't know that he was going to Virginia for a white nationalist rally. She thought it was something else, and she was surprised that her son went to the rally and talked about to the newspaper, the Toledo Blade specifically, that her son had African-American friend. So violent clashes, this deadly car attack, a helicopter crash near Charlottesville near that rally killed two Virginia cops because they were trying to do something to help control it, and then they lose their lives as that helicopter crashes and explodes. Luckily, nobody on the ground was killed in there, but it was ugly. And again, I go back to, I have no great words for this. I'm out of words, frankly, when this kind of stuff happens, because it's just so sad, shocking, and horrific to the people that are all touched by it. And in some way, we are all touched by this. I mean, this isn't the America I want to see. The America where we can agree to disagree and we can argue and debate, absolutely. Where some nut jumps in a car and plows through innocent people, yeah. Not acceptable. But in saying it's not acceptable, it doesn't stop it from happening. So then the next question becomes, how do we return to civility? How do we have those debates and not have cars ramming people? Hang with us. Coming up, we're going to zig and zag from coast to coast and give you the headers next on America Tonight.
BuySellMakeOffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just upped the ante. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what you're store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. Sell unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, and real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up, too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at BuySellMakeOffer.com.
Tyler, time to go for our family walk.
Just let me nap a little longer.
You promised we'd get more active.
I know. How come you're so ready to go?
It's Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where'd you get them?
I ordered them from Superberries.com/radio, and right now we can get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus, we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait to try them. I'll get the dog.
I'll get the kids.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Ed Fuchs is a registered pharmacist who understands how important the B complex of vitamins is for maintaining a healthy heart. That's why he drinks Pollen Burst from Longevity's complete line of nutritional supplements.
Pollen Burst has got the B vitamins in there, and the B vitamins are so fascinating because most people are going to be deficient in the B vitamins because they're rapidly processed out of food. The B vitamins work on the brain, the heart, the skin, and the digestive system. When it comes to heart disease, we got 600,000 people in this country who die of heart disease every year. Some 64 million Americans have some form of heart disease. The B vitamins, a nickel's worth of B vitamins every day, is the most powerful nutritional way to protect yourself from heart disease.
To feed your heart the nutrients it needs for good health, order Longevity's Pollen Burst by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. Or on the web at brightsidebin.com. That's brightsidebin.com.
Lifetime Graze 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com. Or find us on Facebook.
Jolene, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man.
His use of rhetoric, particularly with regards to North Korea, fire and fury and lock and load, I think has, frankly, created even greater tensions in that part of the world.
All right, so that was Leon Panetta throwing in his two cents on North Korea. And because of Charlottesville, this is what happens, that North Korea story, which could affect us deeply as well, gets kind of knocked to what I'll call the back pages, if there is such a thing. Because of the Virginia chaos, that gets pushed aside, but it shouldn't really be pushed aside because it's serious what's happening with North Korea and how it's handled. And, you know, ultimately what happens with Kim Jong-un, does he lose it and decide that he's just going to go for it? Do I think he's going to lose it today? No. Do I think there's reason for concern? Of course I do, and certainly on this show we've talked about it. So it does make some news, continues to make news, because of the possibilities of what could happen with those missiles, for goodness sake. However, the Charlottesville police and how they're handling what happened, the tension in the city, and just trying to regroup from a horrible weekend is absolutely front page, if you will, everywhere you look. And headlines, for example, in the Los Angeles Times read, Charlottesville police face critics as a tense city tries to regroup from a deadly weekend. Hip-hop artist recalls his beating in Charlottesville. They were trying to kill me out there. The White House, these are different stories, White House defends Trump's response as criticism is pouring in. L.A. protesters were not going to normalize these Nazis. And then she did what was right. Details coming out about those killed in Charlottesville, which is, of course, the sad, sad part of this. A paralegal who was there representing her, you know, her side of what she felt was so wrong, ends up dying. Just a simple weekend foray into, I'm going to go do this. Her name was Heather Heyer, and she was standing up for what she thought was right. Also, you had the two that were killed in the helicopter, the lieutenant pilot, Jay Cullen, who spent years flying the governor of Virginia around the state, and a trooper pilot, Burke M.M. Bates, who was excited, who had just realized the dream he had of joining the state police aviation unit, because that was specific with the helicopter, and both were killed as they were trying to do what they could to control the rally. But when a car drove into it, then the, you know, everything else just went nuts after that. So as of this moment, to the best of my knowledge, they set up a GoFundMe page, and quickly that really money was really started to add up there. $200,000 was so far raised as a result for her family, but she was exercising her First Amendment right to free speech, and this is the one thing that just certainly scares me, is people standing up for their beliefs on whatever their belief is, whether we agree or don't agree, whatever any kind of protest is we're talking about that should be peaceful. It's horrific to think going to a peaceful demonstration turns out, well, what they thought was a peaceful demonstration turns out to be deadly and takes her life. So if we went across the country to the Washington Post in headers, what you would see is suspect in Virginia death was a Nazi sympathizer. That's what his teacher says, one of them anyway, that he idolized Adolf Hitler. That's a high school teacher, because remember, he's only 20. There were a lot of headlines similar to what we saw in Los Angeles, until you got further down, and then you would see Game of Thrones, Season 7, Episode 5. They do a review of it. Or you would also see the Civil War in Venezuela, talking about what's happening there. And you'd also see a story about a massive fire leading Montana ranchers to weigh weariness against government, about government against need for federal help. So that's interesting. This distrust of the government, this battle here coming about, what should the federal role be in helping the livestock industry respond to and recover from a destructive wildfire? So that's the Washington Post. Still the overwhelming conversation, Charlottesville, Charlottesville, Charlottesville. If we were to go into the middle of the nation and check out, let's say, the Chicago Sun-Times, you would find that there would be a story, there'd be a lot of different stories, actually, including El Chapo seeking new lawyers in his U.S. drug trafficking case. You would also see a story about thousands of Europeans who are among Chicago's undocumented, for the big concern there. You'd see a story about a worker at O'Hare's airport who drove across a runway where a flight had been cleared for takeoff, crossed a runway where a plane had just landed and apparently cut in front of a taxiing jet. One of, they say, 90 airfield mishaps since the start of 2015. That's a lot. One of 90, I would think. And then there, of course, would be the stories about the hundreds of people who rallied in Chicago against the violence in Virginia, and some more reaction to what happened in Charlottesville. And then there would be something about the Cubs. And the story of Jake Arrieta and Chris Bryant coming up big because the Cubs win their series against Arizona. And the Cubs, for how well they did last year, are not in the win column enough to say that they are a massive lock. I mean, getting in is one thing. Remember, last year was all about history. Getting in is one thing, but then getting beyond getting in is completely different than that. So naturally, there is a Cubs story, and I don't think that's a surprise because of winning the World Series last year. And as much as you're mixing in the horrific story of Virginia, Charlottesville, Virginia, that's typical of how they lay their paper out. It's very Chicago-centric, unlike what was in the Washington Post and what was in the Los Angeles Times, meaning that when I say they're headers, they're big top stories. So they part company there, and they really focus still a lot locally before they go globally, even if there is stories on the front page. If you went to the Boston Globe, it's the opposite. They've got a lot of stories. The T-shirt says, suspect fascinated with Nazism. So that whole idea, that teacher talking, became a big story in a couple of different places. And James Fields is the guy who was charged with second-degree murder and is accused of driving through the crowd of protesters and wounding at least 19. And then more stories about the Charlottesville victim and the White House scrambling to explain the response, and other pieces, opinion pieces, on Trump's reaction, what's going on in Charlottesville, what people in Massachusetts are doing, rallying against violence, people disheartened and distressed, they say, is kind of leading to an increase, and this is interesting, in people attending church and faith and getting back to their faith or going to church more than they were in the past. And the story talks about why is that, and some of it is because of some of what's happening in this country and other countries and how it's affecting us mentally, looking for the faith outlet. All right, hang with us. Forbes Books at Bedtime coming up on the flip side.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Do you trust our economy? How about our banking system? Our president has stated we are sitting on a bubble right now, and that when the Fed raises interest rates, bad things are going to happen. Well, the Fed is raising rates here and now. There has never been a better time to turn your IRA or 401k into physical gold or silver with GSI Exchange. Call 833-GSI-GOLD. GSI Exchange can make this happen fast, and it's money you control, not the big banks. 833-GSI-GOLD. Ask about our Bank Failure Survival Guide and learn how your qualified IRA transfer can get you $1,500 in free physical gold or silver delivered right to your home. GSI Exchange has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call GSI Exchange at 833-GSI-GOLD. That's 833-474-4653. Or visit us on the web at gsi.gold.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Wow, what a guest we have now. I'd love to get him on the court for a game of horse, and I guarantee Greg Stebbin has no idea what horse or pig or any of that is.
I know what horse is.
You do?
I just never get to H.
I'm so shocked by that. Jamal Crawford from the Clippers one time had a little game of horse with me. He whipped me in 2 seconds, and I think it was pretty funny. I think our next guest, Maurice Mo Evans, would do the same thing. I think many of you listening who are sports fans would recognize Mo Evans most recently with the Washington Wizards, and of course has quite a career as a retired American professional basketball player. Like I said, most recently with the Wizards. Sorry about that. I thought the Wizards were going to go the distance, maybe. And he also was a VP of the NBA Players Association. Mo, thanks so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me. And, you know, it's a great intro, especially even concerning, just lost his train of thought, but he said he beat you in a horse. I mean, we play, he's probably one of the best shooters that I've ever played with and against. So it's just crazy to see how many shots he can make in a row. We used to shoot together when we both played for the Hawks. And it's just crazy to see like how consistently he can shoot the ball.
Yeah, no kidding. And like I said, for people who don't know, Jamal Crawford, you think even just a couple years ago, Sixth Man Award, he deserved that. I mean, he has what they call Mo right eyes. He can just, I think he can see all over the place on that floor.
But the thing for me is just like how calm, cool, and collected he is. I mean, I remember there was a game we played for the Hawks and we were playing against the Suns. We were down two, and Coach drew up a play, and he was literally, the play was for him. But I remember he was talking to somebody else, like during the, like Coach John was playing. Coach is like, hey, Jamal, are you paying attention? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, you know, goes out there and he shoots a three-pointer, and we only needed two. And he hit it, and we won the game. And then he went back and finished the conversation, like, immediately after. And I was like, man, this dude has another year that I don't think, you know, most people recognize. So that's my Jamal story. But he, I mean, JC is one of the most consistent guys. He's a really good guy. Obviously has a long tenure in the league and deservingly so with the, all the great four pointers that he's made and, you know, the six man awards. I mean, he's great in the community. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You played for a bunch of teams, not just Washington and Atlanta, Orlando in the mix too, the Lakers, obviously. Did you have a favorite coach of all the people that you played for?
Interestingly, my favorite coach actually is the head assistant for the San Antonio Spurs, Ettore Messina. He was just fantastic. He actually coached me when I played in Europe. The 2 years I played in one for Treviso, Benetton Treviso, and he was my head coach there. He actually coached Manu Ginobili the year before. He's now been a longtime assistant in the NBA, but he's absolutely my favorite coach. And obviously, prior to that, Phil Jackson was a great coach. I had Flip Saunders. The late Flip Saunders was definitely one of my favorites in terms of I've had him three times in my career, Minnesota, Detroit, and Washington. So it was great to see his progression throughout his career. Me coming in as a rookie and then obviously seeing him before his, you know, before he kind of transitioned out of here, he was just one of the best offensive coaches I've ever been around.
You know, it's interesting, Mo, hearing you talk about coaches you played with, and you know, we can get a flavor of the influence of them on your life. I'm curious, you know, when you retired in 2012, you kind of lose this or leave. I'm speculating that you kind of leave this world that's designed to have you play at your best, and all of a sudden, I guess you're out on your own. Is that right? And what was that like for you?
Yeah, the transition is very difficult for a lot of players. And I was probably one of the more seasoned players in terms of I have multiple investments. I have a lot of business acumen. It's one of the reasons that I was one of the only players who was involved in every aspect of the labor negotiations. You know, I really, my knowledge of the sports business significantly increased during that process. But at the same time, so many players lack transitional skills. And so we're all suited to be basketball players. We heavily invest in that. We work out multiple times a day. We eat right. We do all these different things related to our specific sports. And this is all professional athletes. But even with a degree like I had, you don't have any direct experience. So as you're transitioning out, it's difficult to go find something unless you go into being an analyst or a coach or a GM or one of those, you know, niche jobs that so many athletes are vying for and jockeying for as they transition out. It's really difficult to see guys transition out. So that's one of the reasons that we started the company that we have, Every Level of Success, trying to help athletes better transition.
Yeah, and don't you think, Mo, I mean, what a great thing, because you're right. I've seen this over the years that I've covered sports, what happens when somebody gets out, and you nailed it. If they're not going into the business of sports where they're an analyst and they're on one of the big networks or they're doing coaching or GM or whatever, all of a sudden, what are they doing? So when you get a hold of somebody, no matter what the sport is, take us through that process. How does that work?
Well, the first thing we do is we obviously we kind of help them redefine what success looks like for them. Because, again, we talk about it in terms of something that we feel like is applicable to them is we speak about their winning space. Like everybody knows that, again, your winning space is essentially your calling in life. And the thing that's interesting is most people, your winning space is only still seasonal. So most of these guys were in their winning space for 10 years, 15 years. It depends on however long they played. But now they have to be able to transition and take all of the uncommonalities, the skills, the experience, the relationships that they all accumulated in that sport and in that winning space and now transition them into the next spot. So we help them redefine success first and foremost. Then we connect them to our 360 service provider network, the individuals who are experts in whatever area of life they're going to need that support in. For example, most of the individuals, one of the most challenging things they have transitioning, even as it relates to their skill sets and finding another job, most of those guys have liquidity. So it's not like they don't have they have financial concerns. But the challenge is because they've been so vested in their sport, now they're expected to come transition as a father as well and as a husband. And so now you want to wake up and go expect Kobe Bryant to start taking his kids to school. Shortly after retiring and now going on date nights and doing all these different things. He's used to going to the gym. He used to getting on the road, getting on the plane and doing all these different things, but they don't have that excuse anymore. So most of the guys in the NBA, NFL, et cetera, the next transition, the most difficult thing they experience is divorce. Mm-hmm. And then half their assets are gone, and now their earning potential relative to the sport is at its lowest point. Now it damages their overall brand. And it's just like a downward spiral for most people that they don't ever, recover from.
I guess my question for you, Mo, and we're talking with Mo Evans. He's the president and CEO of Every Level of Success. The website is everylevelofsuccesscompany.com. And, of course, you know him from playing for the Washington Wizards, Atlanta, Orlando Magic, the LA Lakers, now having this company called Every Level of Success. You mentioned early on that you, in a sense, had an advantage as a player because you had a much broader business set of experiences. How did you know to pursue the business side of your life at the same time you were playing when so many players don't know to do that?
Well, I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. My father was an entrepreneur. He was a master plumber. He owned his own business the entire time when I was in high school growing up. And it was not the most scalable business at the time. It was very much a mom and pop. And, you know, I kind of seen him and, go through that struggle. But it was something that I was always passionate about, was business, especially sports business and sports technology. And unfortunately, I learned a lot of tough lessons at my own expense. And it was, you know, when I retired that I said, I can't keep learning these lessons, you know, in real time. I have to be able to accelerate my learning curve some way. That's when I started writing the book. And I also wanted to stop other athletes from putting our money. You know, one of the things that you learn is you can put money, for example, in investing in a company. But one of the most difficult things I've seen is getting that money back, generating a return. And so most of the time I would put $500,000 in a company, and then I find myself having to go work for that same company to help them generate a return or scale their business model. So now all of a sudden, not only am I an investor, but I'm essentially paying to have a job that's unpaid, and then help them scale the model because they don't have the relationships that I had. So I just learned a lot just through trial and error, and now I'm a lot more seasoned as an investor, and I work with a lot of other athletes as they make those decisions and help them to kind of pinpoint things and challenges to look for.
Yeah, do you think a lot of athletes get trapped that same way where their entourage or people that have been around them hit them up for money and have ideas about businesses, and then they don't know how to really run the business they started, and they're coasting on your connections? And, boy, that is deadly, isn't it?
It is, and it's challenging because just like any person in business, period, you do business with people you like, you know, and you trust.
Right.
And unfortunately, the people that athletes like, know, and trust don't have much more knowledge or skills concerning some of the businesses that they go in. And that's why, you know, even the comments about LeBron James's crew, at least LeBron has helped them get direct experience in those related fields so that they can now be educated and be qualified to handle those certain, you know, business opportunities or manage, opportunities for him, period. And that's one thing you can give him credit for, because LeBron James is probably one of the best I've seen do it. I've seen Magic Johnson has done a great job transitioning. Junior Bridgman has done a great job. Chauncey Billups is now doing a really great job in terms of managing both the business and the transitional process. So there's a couple of names that I've seen have done it well. Jamal Mashburn is another one who's done it extremely well. So there's a few of the athletes who have really transitioned, you know, very, very well.
Mo, we just have a minute or two, and this is, of course, on a radio feature called Forbes Books at Bedtime, so we have to ask, what keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night is just nothing, really. I have a lot of peace. I get great sleep. I'm not a worrier because I'm really trusted. I'm really rooting, but if there were something to keep me up, it's just reaching my fullest potential. I have a lot of opportunities, and I have a lot of different skill sets and experience, and just making sure that I'm living my best life and living it for myself and for my family, as opposed to giving the best of my time to everything else and then just living life with my leftover time. So that's something that's very important to me.
Love it. You sleep well at night. Mo Evans, President and CEO of Every Level of Success. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you all. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
At Humalife, we believe your health is your wealth. That's why we offer an exclusive, potent, and pure selection of OMRI-certified 100% organic humic and fulvic acid concentrates. These two acids stop viruses and harmful bacteria and increase frequency, vibration, and vitality. In fact, they're called the missing link to your health. Pure liquid organic ATP energy rebuilds and regrows the immune system. You are the doctor at Humalife. You know best because you are the test. Find out more at HumalifeUSA.com. That's HumalifeUSA.com.
With us here on America Tonight, Dr. Mark Swaydan. He is the Vice Chair for Neurological Surgery and Director of Pediatric Neurological Surgery at the Weill Cornell Medicine Brain and Spine Center. Dr. Swaydan, thanks so much for coming on with us, because what we're talking about sadly has affected two of my friend's children. We're talking about pediatric brain tumors, and you know, one of the things, and you would know the acronym better, but DIPG. First of all, for people listening, tell us about DIPG and the severity of that and what happens to these kids. It's like a serial killer.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, Kate, to begin with. And I'm sorry to hear that friends of yours have been afflicted by this. DIPG, diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma, is one subset of tumors in children that affect the brain, and more precisely what's called the brain stem. The brain stem is the, if you will, the relay center between the brain proper and everything that happens below the neck. It's a very vital area, very tight, compact area, where these tumors that with consistency kill these children with a median survival of just shy of a year.
Wow. And so you just recently presented the results of your phase one clinical trial for the use of a better medication delivery system in these children with what we just talked about, DIPG. So tell us about that.
Now, the clinical trial really is a result of a very ambitious effort to improve the outcome for these children. Mm-hmm. And for decades, and for as long as I've ever known about DIPG or interested in pediatric brain tumors, that the survival curves and expectations were never improved in that 30, 40-year interval. So we embarked on a very adventurous way to be more effective and get in chemotherapeutic agents into the area of interest, namely the brainstem. And it's very well known that when you administer chemotherapy by an oral or intravenous route, that a very, very small fraction of that drug gets into the brain and hence the brain tumor. So the normal routes of administration are extremely ineffectual and inefficient for getting drug concentrations where we want them in the brain of these children. So this design is based on a simplistic idea, and that is directly administer the chemotherapy into the tumor, right? Sounds very logical and simplistic. And why shouldn't we be doing it? Why shouldn't we be doing it? It's because it is a surgical intervention. And you're also embarking on one of the most vital functions or structures of the brain, namely the brain stem. So it's illogical to think that you can place a catheter in the brain stem and infuse volumes of fluid that would be containing the chemotherapeutic agent. So that's what we set out to do. That was the first 15 plus years of my career. And as you mentioned, we reported on our phase one, or what would you call toxicity seeking, you know, clinical trial at the American Society of Clinical Oncology this past spring. And delightfully, we saw that we could do this in children safely with a very, very good efficiency, that we could get thousand-fold higher concentrations of drug in the area of interest safely without affecting anything in the rest of the body. So the foundation was validated without question.
Wow, that's incredible because... And to really drive this home, as you said, so much of your life has been spent doing this, and we talk about the brainstem, and again, to put it in perspective for people listening, it's just very difficult to get to that area, isn't it, without doing any other kind of damage?
Yeah, there are tumors and lesions within the brainstem that neurosurgeons consistently will go after and remove very effectively. Benign tumors, well-circumscribed lesions, but those differ in that they are focal. Those differ in that they reach the surface of the brainstem. It affords us a route in, and there's a very clean line of demarcation that we can carefully identify at the time of surgery. These tumors, DIPG, and other infiltrative gliomas, have that word assigned to them, infiltrative, meaning that they entwine themselves within the normal cellular structure of all the pathways and complex nuclei in the brainstem that make it an impossibility to remove these. And even if one can go in and take out the majority of these tumors, we know that the invasive front has escaped surgical treatment and will recur in those margins. So a much different growth pattern than other lesions that we will willfully go after in the brainstem.
We're speaking with Dr. Mark Sway-Dan from Cornell Weill. And so in talking about this, I mean, this has got to be amazing, the amount that you're able to measure here, the amount of kind of like a treasure trove of information that you're finding out. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, what it's done is opened up a huge door of potential. And, you know, whether we have everything right with the phase one study is left unsaid until we start looking more diligently at optimal dose and then challenging ourselves to see if we can do better than historical controls. But at this point in time, the exciting component of this is now we've shown we can do this. So this opens up a huge potential with regard to agents that have been left by the wayside because they cause systemic toxicity. Agents that are very promising in the laboratory, but we know they don't cross what's called the blood-brain barrier. So now there's great potential for introducing either old agents or innovative agents. Now there's the potential of integrating agents that were prohibitive from the standpoint of systemic toxicity. So there's a whole wide spectrum of agents that can now be either re-explored or introduced into a tumor that has escaped any element of therapeutic benefit from therapy. So that alone is a huge jump forward in this. And then the other really has to do with the quieting of any cynicism that would be applied to this because it's dangerous. Right, so it's logical to think that you're going to put a catheter in the brain, so I'm going to infuse all this fluid, and you're going to hurt children, and that doesn't make sense for a child that only has 5, 6, 7 months left of life. Why would you do this? But now that we can do this, and we've done this very safely to the point that we're sending these kids home the following day, and it's been remarkable from the standpoint of the safety element and the drug delivery element. So great capacity here now to interface with industry, with pharmaceutical companies, with investigators across the globe to try and now optimize this.
Yeah, and in optimizing it, one of the things would be, I would assume, right, testing different drugs and combinations?
Yeah, without question. I wish I had 10 lifetimes and 10 more people in my laboratory doing this. You know, every one of these, and it's challenging, right? I mean, to drive a clinical trial like this, which took us 4 years to complete, and I will say, you know, 15-plus years to lay the groundwork for, with a price tag of foundation money, and we've had very generous individuals and foundations rise to the occasion, you know, just shy of $2 million to drive this trial. Now, think about the multitude of agents that are out there that we'd love to experiment with. And you can do a lot of work in the laboratory to screen, but every time you embark on bringing this into a clinical front, you're dealing with that degree of effort. So it becomes very problematic. At the same time, one needs to be extremely disciplined in their selection of how to design a trial to make sure you're going to get the most information out of that clinical trial and that investment of time and effort and money.
Yeah, what does that mean for your team when you're talking about the other people involved in this? You all had to be thrilled when you knew that you had some success with this, right?
Yeah, I mean, no more than me, but without question. I can't enough praise assigned to the individuals who have helped with this. And that's industry, institution, and it extends well beyond what I've been doing. And it's really been remarkable. But I will tell you that the shared enthusiasm and the drive comes from the inherent belief that we can do better, that we can cure other cancers in kids of the same age, but because the cancer affects a different organ, we shouldn't be satisfied with that. We should believe in that if we can cure one cancer, there's no reason we can't cure another cancer. But yes, it might involve a different strategy, and it might involve a much different technology. But the drive to do that is because of the belief that, one, we can do it and have done it, and two, is to watch the grief and the suffering of these parents is an amazingly powerful motivation to do better. And for anyone who associates, and you mentioned you have friends with children who have been afflicted, if you listen and watch and understand what they go through, there's no greater motivation to do a better job and to improve the outcome for these kids.
Congratulations, Doctor, on the work that you're doing there, and to hear your passion is just absolutely phenomenal, wonderful. As you said, 15 years of work, the 4 years to complete, I can only imagine what a giant, giant effort. Dr. Mark Swedan from Cornell Weill, thank you so much.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, but we're not finished. Until we consistently cure these children, then you can congratulate me, and I'll certainly accept that congratulations. I appreciate the time this morning.
I love it, Doc. Thank you so much.
Thank you as well.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Welcome aboard. Your new science fiction adventure is ready to launch. Discover an amazing journey at galaxyquestbooks.com. Start a new sci-fi adventure with the Guardian series, a classic sci-fi mystery that starts 500 years in the future. From author D. Arthur Gussner. Series available from Barnes & Noble or Amazon as paperback or ebooks.
GalaxyQuestBooks.com, where the adventure begins.